Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to spend these next few minutes together as we continue on in a message I began yesterday, The Secret of Abiding Joy. And don't we need that in the times in which we are living? I will be sharing on the deep mysteries and the questions that have plagued mankind since the beginning. And that is, how can a holy God allow evil and violence and unrighteousness to continue? You see, that was the problem that the prophet Habakkuk was having. And for those of you who perhaps didn't catch yesterday's broadcast, let me just make a footnote. If at any point you have missed a broadcast or want to re-listen, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But the book opens, it reads like today's headlines, if you will. The first verse is the burden of the prophet. And verse 2 says, he's now crying out to God, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" Have you been praying? "And thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou shew me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention." Okay, verse 4, "Therefore the law is slacked." Where's justice, right? "And judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." This is his complaint. And I'm sure at times we have been grieved by things we have heard in the world, in our own nation, things that are so unjust, things that are corrupt, things that are, there's violence and there's evil doing and unrighteousness and a lack of uprightness. And we grieve as God's people. The fear of the Lord, you know, one of the definitions of fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not the people, but to hate the wickedness that grieves the heart of God. We hate the things God hates, all right? He loves people, we love people, but we hate iniquity and wickedness because that is what sent Jesus to the cross so we could be restored and be part of God's family. And so we see the book is opening with the prophet in perplexity over the mystery of evil that goes on and it's not being dealt with. You know, he did love God, he trusted God, but he didn't understand a lot of things, just like we might have difficulties in terms of things that happen personally in our lives, things that we know were not unrighteous, and yet justice wasn't done. We see that all the time with, you know, false accusations, perhaps against us, against loved ones, people, friends we know, situations we're aware of, and it's very upsetting. Lord, it's not fair. It's not right. We cry out for proper and right judgment, and yet many times we don't see it in this world. And what is being dealt with in this book is that the mysteries of providence are examined. That's troubled man for so long, the very existence of evil. And so what this book deals with, it talks about that, the existence of evil, but it gives, in view of that, a defense of God's goodness and power. We know he's a good God. His mercy endures forever. How are we going to reconcile the two? Well, that's the issue that the prophet was having. He complains he sees sinful violence on every hand, and yet there's no punishment visited on the evildoers. So as we continue on, though, there's basically a dialogue in those first two chapters. I won't really take the time to refer to them. But as we look now, well, maybe I will. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, let me read that. This is what Habakkuk's response is. God assures them, assures him, just like he is assuring us. You see, the point of, I'm not just trying to share historical realities, but how can we relate it to the time in which we are living? God always has a specific, when something occurs, it's for that particular situation, what the prophets were facing. However, just as Jesus preached in terms of the Gospels, those are eternal truths, and they're God's ways and his principles, and they apply for regardless of what century we are living in. And so God told him that judgment was going to come. He was going to use the Chaldeans, who were, terrible, they were cruel. And so what Habakkuk says in chapter 2, because God has spoken to him, he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, I trust this is a familiar passage, and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And I have to read verse 4 too. Behold, his soul which is lifted up in Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, God, the soul which is lifted up is not upright. That's the proud, the arrogant, the wicked, that think they can go on living the way they do and they're not going to be stopped, they're not going to be hindered. But God laughs at the wicked because their time is coming unless they repent. And so what we see there is, as God is beginning to deal with him, he then, as he looks at his own people, as he looks at the situation in Judah, he then has to acknowledge that the judgment against Judah is just. Well, they may not be as bad as the Chaldeans, but they've turned away from God. Contemporary Jeremiah, how often did he mourn and weep and cry out to God because the people wouldn't hear? They were self-satisfied. They thought they were righteous. There wasn't a problem. But this is what brings comfort. God reveals that the Chaldeans will, in their turn, be destroyed. In other words, God's going to use them for a time, but they will be destroyed. You remember in the time of Moses, the Lord said, the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet full. God has a season. You know, his timetable, we may not understand it or have it even clear in Scripture, but God definitely has a plan for us as the human race. He knows those who are his. He knows what he's going to do. His mercy and long suffering are eternal. But in this, his spirit's not always going to strive with man. There is an appointed season, this time of grace, which is ushered in by the new covenant of Jesus, sealed in his blood, is a time in which whoever has ears to hear, whoever does righteousness, who loves the truth, will come to him. That's what Jesus said. And so there are those who are going to continue to reject, harden their hearts. They want none thing to do with the living God. They align themselves with the forces of darkness willingly, knowingly. I know it's hard to imagine, but there are those who do. And so they are going to be destroyed, and at last the people of God will inherit the earth. And that's our consolation. If you want just a summary, we can look ahead to what God has ahead, and we can be assured when Jesus returns, there will be no wars, there will be no more rebellion, except at the very end of the 1,000 years. And then God's going to wipe them out, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But so what we see here, that God is going to destroy the wicked, the people of God will inherit the earth, we will rule and reign with Jesus. And the book ends with a sublime, I wish I could just read the whole book, but I don't have that have the time. It ends with a sublime prayer and a psalm of praise, if you will, speaking of the majesty and glory of Jehovah. Habakkuk declares his unwavering faith in the God of his salvation. Habakkuk 2:20, what does that say? But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Well, that can be a standalone scripture. You can say, well, sure, that's correct. But he declares that because with renewed faith, God was resolving his questions, his anxieties, his concerns, his confusion. And he then understands and concludes, given God's holiness, that his own questions are unjustified. In other words, just like Job, he had all these questions. At the end, did God answer any of them? He said, where were you when I created the earth and all the creatures? I mean, basically, we have to understand this is, you know, what did Jesus say? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hand. He is God, eternal, holy, all-powerful, existing forever. And the questions that we might ask, they may seem very valid to us, but God has it, beloved. Well, we have a lot to learn, just like Habakkuk is continuing to do, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. Sometimes there's just, you need the support of agreeing prayer. God, and there's power in agreeing prayer, so I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, my partners and my radio family. Until tomorrow, then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.